Okay, let me just say a little bit about politics, and then, I mean, if you want to go back to normal issues, we can do. But so far we've been focusing on individual moral choices. But I think that very much the same criteria apply to political decision making. Although I think that the sort of default setting for governmental decisions now seems to be utilitarianism more than anything, but you know, obviously in practice it depends on what you can get through Parliament or what you can get political support for. And usually consequentialism provides the kind of evidence around which support can be built more readily than a particular principle, though not always. You know, it depends how well imbued the principle is in our culture. But I would suggest that governments, like people, need to be able to use a palette of moral approaches. But there are also a lot of other issues obviously involved in it. You know, it becomes a step up in complexity of what's involved in such decisions. And from our point of view, we need to clarify how we work with authorities and what role political authorities have in our lives. I mean, recently I've been reading quite a bit about anarchism. In fact, at the moment I'm reading a history of anarchism. And it does strike me that they have a point, but only a kind of idealised point. So the state of anarchy would be, it seems to me, the ideal state of affairs. You know,
Hobbiton.
Hobbiton, yes. you know, why have governments, why have nasty policemen and judges and so on if we didn't need them? So ideally, if we could live peacefully without governments, then fine. The problem is we can't.
Minor problem. A little catch.
And so it seems to be the requirement for anarchy to work would be everybody being completely integrated. But if there wasn't any conflict either within individuals so that they self-destructed, or between people within society so that they had conflicts and killed or harmed each other or interfered with each other in other unjust ways, then we wouldn't need governments.
When you say completely integrated, isn't that an absolute?
It is.
Isn't integration something that you can only be incremental?
I was
going to
say as well, do you mean, when you say integration, do you mean lack of conflict?
Lack of conflict in the wider sense that we talked about when in the desire and integration talk here. So the lack of conflict, both at an individual level and at a social, political level.
Yeah. Okay.
Lack of conflict between incompatible desires. So there's then the question, the crucial question of political philosophy, really, which is, if we're going to have government, what justifies that government? So my suggestion in applying midway philosophy and integration theory here is that the justification of government depends on the integration of government. So the political authorities gain their justification in bossing us around when they are, or to the extent that they are, more integrated than we are. So if they have a perspective which means that they're addressing conditions more effectively than we would without them, or we would in defiance of them, then we should fall along. We should go along with that, or we have a responsibility to fall into the model that they're imposing on us. If, on the other hand, if we had a classic despotic dictatorial government, or one which was grossly ill-informed, basically was using a model which really didn't address conditions very well at all, then it doesn't seem to me that, you know, we would have a right, a moral right, to disobey such a government because we'd be obeying conditions, we'd be addressing conditions much better, perhaps, given, you know, we'd have to weigh up all the circumstances, but we might be addressing conditions much better by disobeying it than we would by obeying it. So that, of course, raises the question of what we mean by the integration of a political body. And I think that's quite complex. Mm-hmm. But just to briefly outline some aspects of it. So there's the integration of the government itself. So are all the bits of the government working together effectively? Whether you're talking there about, just using the UK as an example, obviously the Prime Minister and the Cabinet and the civil service and so on, and all the government bodies, are they working together in a way which enables integration of government, which has an effect not just of making their actions effective, but also of making sure that they use evidence effectively and process that evidence effectively, so that it's the integration of their beliefs and their meanings as well as their desires. But it's not just the integration of the government that's important, it's also the political system. So we have to think about the relationships between the governing party and the other parties in a democracy, and with the more widely of the government with the people. So obviously, if you've got a government that's imposing its will on the people against the will of the people, you could hardly call that an integrated government. You know, the people will have concerns, and they'll have beliefs which will be based on conditions that need addressing, and that government will be ignoring those conditions. So that's very typically very often the case with totalitarian governments, you know, like the government of the Soviet Union, for example, and particularly in its, under Stalin's era, or even in its later days, that the people became alienated from the government because it was no longer addressing key conditions that were required in their lives. And of course, you can then see the conflict, more political prisoners and executions and so on.
Mm. I think an interesting example of that recently is this topicality of transparency in government and the whether whistleblowers are justified in their actions and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's easy in the culture and climate that we live in to think, oh yes, we need transparency and it's great for these people to be standing up and spilling the beans on what goes on in government and all the rest of it. But actually, you take a step back from it, you think, well, absolute transparency isn't something that anyone would want, because, you know, the government holds information about me. I don't want that information to be in the public domain, but I do want the government to hold information about me because I want them to take me into account in their decisions. So
there's obviously a middle way on that issue. Yeah. Okay, so there's the integration of the government itself, there's the integration of government with the people. There's also the integration between the people. So if you've got a population that is divided between two ethnic groups, for example, or at each other's throats, or as in Syria, say, then obviously that's going to create huge problems for the integration of the government and for the effective and the way in which the government will address conditions so as to rule in the interests of the people. So all of these different kinds of integration feed into the overall integration of the government. And then that obviously brings us to the question of democracy and how that relates to the integration of government. So it seems to me that democracy is very often of assistance in integrating government. And obviously it's primarily the integration of the government with the people. So it's at least clumsily, at least roughly making sure that there's some alignment between the desires of the people and the desires of the government, and between the beliefs of the government and the beliefs of the people. Whatever its drawbacks, it avoids some of those you know, the grosser forms of conflict that can arise between government and people.
I think we were talking about this on the bike the other day, weren't we? In the increasing use of the internet to poll people and the tendency for democracy to sort of slide towards government by referendum and mob rule is really quite concerning, because one of the things we do is in representative democracy is we elect people that do actually, they are supposedly experts in governing, and they, you know, an MP is going to have more knowledge about governing a country than I will, and I kind of choose by the MP and cede my decision, you know, to that person. And when it gets to a point where everyone's voting on every decision, we're probably not that integrated as individuals
then
to do that.
It depends what the mail says.
Exactly.
So I mean, that depends on trust between the people and the government. There's the basic level of trust, and also a degree of virtue in those who are doing the governing. All of which, you know, democracy can be a check on, that we try and make sure those things are in place, at least to some extent. So I think democracy has that sort of helpful aspect to it, which is obviously why democracy can be associated with reduction in conflict in the world as a whole. And again, Stephen Pinker provides good evidence of this, that particularly in the post-war period, the last 60 years or so, conflict across the world, particularly in Europe, but also across the world, has decreased, despite appearances, despite media appearances. The development of democracy has a lot to do with this. But I don't think democracy is an end in itself, so I wouldn't want to turn democracy into a metaphysical principle, or indeed any other political ideology into a metaphysical principle. I'm not going to go anywhere near as far as, you know, suggesting how people should vote or anything like that, but the...
go on, you know you want to.
But I think a general principle one can apply here is, you know, just the avoidance of rigid ideologies. That you know, if you see a politician who's stuck in a particular model that they can't get out of, you know, that's probably an indication they're not going to address conditions as well as they might.
Mm.
Anyway, mentioning no names. final point. Coming back to the question of disobedience. So, you know, when we might be justified in disobeying the law, for example, I would suggest that could be morally justified by a greater degree of integration. But obviously, we've got to take into account when making a decision to break the law on conscientious grounds that you know, we've got to think about the consequences of doing so and so on. However, this argument about integration, I don't think we couldn't make that part of the legal system. So we couldn't have, you know, criminals standing up in court claiming to be more integrated than the government or whatever, because the legal system just couldn't work in that sort of way. Integration isn't something you can easily measure,
quantify,
in the way that would be required. So I'm suggesting this as a way of approaching the moral justification of what we do in the political realm as in other realms, but not that it should be formalised in that sort of way.